Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Grammy Museum Mississippi invites you to visit the Music America, iconic objects from America's music history, supported by Visit Mississippi and the Mississippi Humanities Council. Go to GrammyMuseumMS.org to learn more.
From the trees over your head to the lawn you hate to mow and everything green in between, Garden Mama's here to help you keep on growing. Still the empress of everything green. Here's your horticulture maven, Garden Mama Nellie Neal, on Super Talk Mississippi.
Buenos dias. I hope everybody is well today. We don't have six languages this morning, just our favorites. Thank you very much for joining us for the Garden Mama Show. I don't know what's on your mind, but I'm pretty deep into the fact that it's not going to freeze for a while here in the middle of Zone 8, where the rest of y'all are. There might be a night or two in the next 10 days, but we shall see what happens. Now, this is where we go into what do we plant, how do we plant it, when do we cover it up, what do we do, and yada, yada, yada. So, of course, I have help. Good morning. Mark Peaches Patrick is here to help me with all of this. He, of course, is the force behind Southern Charm Garden Design Service. I say that very carefully because I tend to run it as one word, but it's really not.
Hey, snazzy dresser, too, right?
And truly, yeah. Truly.
There you go. Good morning.
We're trying to be matching images of each other.
Yeah, that's almost opposite.
Today,
I like it. Yeah.
We're coordinating.
Polarization of the gardening attire.
It's all blue. You know, we try to fit in with the background. but stand out.
Well, I will say, I bragged on dude here during the week. We were talking Monday, and he was like, "What'd you do this weekend?" I said, "Well, went and hung out and had a nice little taco lunch or dinner, whatever it was. Was it Friday or Saturday? I can't remember what day it was last week.
I do not remember.
But we were sitting there, and he knew the waitress, and he said, "Hey, it'd be great if y'all could come up with a Mardi Gras margarita." I said, "Man, they've got everything to do that right now." Behind, she goes, "Yeah, we could do it. We have yellow, we have purple, we have green," and they invented a Mardi Gras margarita for him, and it was good. He was like, "You ought to put this on the menu," but I was bragging on his creativity. And
Patrick,
you can make demands.
Now we're moving into the St. Patrick's Day, so surely we can do yellow and green. Come on.
Yeah. Well, margaritas are already green.
Well, so. That's my point, is we can add a little froth there.
But they did a great job. I have to give them credit, right? Thinking on the fly like that, he put a curveball on them, and they just delivered.
Well, that's what we count on. That's why we go out.
It helps
so
to know
have to
the
do
waitress.
That at home, we're so matched today that both of us have sent forward photographs of Dancing Lady Yellow Oncidium orchids in the. If you're at supertalk.tv, you should be and take a look at all these beautiful things. I don't remember the first time I saw one of these, but I do remember the first time I owned one, and I literally didn't see it stop blooming. Eventually I gave it as a gift to somebody else who needed a happy at that particular moment. But it was a beautiful plant, and I love, I get a chance to go to Lakeland every now and then. They got a table full of such lovelies, so I was admiring the dancing ladies.
They do. Yeah, and it's neat. Everybody needs to know, not every orchid is as hard to get to bloom as a Phalaenopsis.
That's true.
And, that's the one everybody
the
wants.
The corsage orchid,
yes.
that we classically think of.
Yeah, dancing.
There are others who will live more happily with us, like Oncidiums, and Phalaenopsis, too, will do that.
And you don't have to give up your bathtub.
No.
You don't.
When you go back and read some of the things, we were looking at something this morning that I wrote in 2001, and it actually made pretty good sense, so I was happy about that. But you go back and read some of the tips that people provide to one another, and some of them are just outlandish. The idea that you have to take your fern into the bathtub, basically with you.
Right.
I mean, just wild and crazy. Well, the text line is already heating up today, and this is a great question to start us off. This is from Kathy, who is happily ensconced in Zone 8 as we are here today. They're putting in some raised beds. Now, Why do we put in raised beds? There are a lot of reasons for it. Sometimes it's just because it's part of the architecture of the place. It's going to look nice and this and that. Well, they got water issues and Johnson grass. Those are two really good reasons.
There's two really good reasons.
To change everything about what you're doing. So they're planning to put cardboard in the bottom of the raised bed. My only critique of that is to just say, you know, the stuff's going to grow through there eventually, and that's fine, but it will help to suppress for probably a couple of years.
Yeah.
If you scrape the weeds off that are already presently there, or the grass or whatever's growing in that space, you don't want to leave stuff underneath the cardboard. Do you agree with that?
Absolutely.
I just think everything's too aggressive.
It's very aggressive, and you know, eventually that cardboard turns into food for anything that's laying under there. But it will give you a good head start.
Yeah, and if you can get it without too much printing on it, that's better than since we don't know what the ink's made out of. But very few of us are going to actually worry about that part.
Right.
And then the soil mix. She wants to know how tall should the sides be. I'm in favor of at least 6 inches so that you can have 4 inches of soil above the ground and maybe a little bit below it. But since she's going to line the bottom, I'm going to go a little taller.
Yeah, a foot.
A little bit taller if possible.
Yeah.
That also gives you room, of course, to put a ledge on the edge to sit on.
So. Well, you know, what you got to remember, and I was explaining this to a neighbor the other day who was going after a crepe myrtle, and I'm like, all you're doing is going to make it worse. The roots on those tomatoes are going to go.
Where they're going to go.
Yeah. So you got to give them room. You know, and you know, I see people trying to grow a Better Boy tomato in a 5 gallon bucket, and I'm like,
and they do, but it's almost a constant feed situation.
Yeah, you're married to them.
It's true.
You know, you're married to them.
Don't ignore them even for
do
a day.
Do not, under no circumstances.
I did that last year. Did not turn out well. They grew like bamboo, but there was just very little fruiting on there.
Yeah.
And when they did, it just struggled to produce anything of any size.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Beautiful yellow flowers and all that, and shook them, did exactly right. But I think my base was just not deep enough
didn't
for the
have
size
quite
of the
enough.
Plant.
No. Yeah, didn't have quite enough oomph for them. Yeah,
yep.
I understand that. That's why I am planting in, my tomatoes are planted in basically things that are the size of, if not in fact are, in some cases are, cattle feed buckets, which are about as big around as this table.
Right, right.
And they're deep, too, and I can't move them, but they're wonderful. This year they've got tomatoes. They didn't have tomatoes last year. They were somewhere else. But the fun part about all of this is it's March. And we can think about doing stuff. There is so much going on. We were just looking at the list of all of the various sales and events and stuff going on that everybody wants to get to. I'm just going to tell you, check locally, check online, because we're putting stuff up all the time. But we will be talking to some folks, and if you call, you want to get a chance to talk about your event here on the Garden Mama Show, all you have to do is get in touch with me, mamaonair@yahoo.com. I'm happy to promote all of those things. And indeed, in just a couple of weeks, we'll be talking to some folks from the Garden Club of Jackson about their event. And, by the way, you didn't tell me, Lance. I'm going to fuss at him. You didn't tell me about the Daffodil Awards in Tupelo.
Oh, I wish I would have known.
Yeah,
definitely needed
they
to know
won.
About that.
They won from Keep America Beautiful. They won awards. I mean, it's just wonderful. I'm using that as a way to quietly say that I hope to be in Tupelo very soon.
That'd
I'll let you know.
And I need to pay better attention, apparently, don't I?
Well, I was just tickled. There always are events, and sometimes we get to hear about them, and sometimes we just don't.
We need to hear about all of them.
We like to hear about all that stuff. So y'all let us know. We'll tell you more about that.
I have the same listeners all week during the morning. Y'all need to get on me I don't know about Daffodil Awards and things like that.
Talk about it now.
You know, I think we should come up with a garden tour bus. And when all these sales are going on, we can sell tickets, and they get on the bus.
Pay for the gas.
It kind of reminds me of, there was the bus that went around the country there for a while, the Pranksters.
Ken Kesey.
Yeah, Ken Kesey and crew. We could pull that off just with gardening.
With gardening. Yeah. The other option on that particular one is coffee shops and thrift stores.
Yeah. We have to hit all those.
You put all those three things together, you've got a bus full of people any day.
Well, we'll just stop at every coffee shop and thrift store. Yeah.
The only problem with that, the bus would load at 5 a.m.
It's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
There's so many of them.
Bring a trailer. You know?
It's pretty exciting because I keep getting emails from people, or texts, are you going to this program? Are you going to this one? Are you going to this one? And I'm like, there's only one of me.
I'm very sorry. I have to apologize to Crosby Arboretum. I entirely missed that the shiitake mushroom workshop was last week. I thought it was next week. I didn't read it right.
Yeah.
But I appreciate them.
It's busy.
It's very busy. And that's the really good news. The more we find people willing to get together and talk about gardening, talk about plants, talk about how to grow stuff, the better we all are. It's one of the most cheapest forms of therapy. No offense to, I love my psychologists and all my friends in the world, that whole world. But we do have a really powerful bond among people who grow things. And it just really helps. For example, Kenneth in Starkville, he doesn't realize I know who that is. Kenneth in Starkville is sending a picture of his Autumn Joy sedum, which are coming back. Mine are too. See, we're enjoying each other's company. Now, his look better than mine in that his need to be divided even more than mine do. There's like 75 stems in this little tiny space. But the good news is that we can do that also at this time of year. We can divide to multiply, you know, spread them around.
Oh, divide and multiply. Daylilies.
Oh, my goodness.
I have been under a deluge of daylilies.
That's fun.
I mean, just do divide those guys. You can't leave them for 20 years.
Well, I mean, but you won't have any flowers, probably. And, you know, depending on which one it is, it may, or the flowers may get littler, or they may just not bloom at all for you. Oh, interesting. Bubba's also in Starkville and says, how many tomato plants per cattle bucket? 2, because I'm growing a full-size tomato. If I was growing Celebrity, I have put 3 in there with 1 set of caging around the whole thing, and they did fine together. But again, you do have to fertilize more often than you might think you do to keep that much going in that one container. But I'm putting 2 in this time because these are big tomato plants.
My head is spinning when you tell me you planted tomatoes already.
Well, I looked at the weather, and I couched it last week. You know, I always try to get mine in before the 15th if I'm going to be able to cover them in Zone 8.
Yeah.
And so that's what, that's what I'm doing. What you got, sir?
Well, we have John on the phone from Ware, and he had a question and some basics on redoing and deepening a bed that he has asparagus. He wants to get it deeper and such. So, John, you're on there with us.
Hey, John.
Yeah, I'm wanting to redo my asparagus bed, and I hope I'm not too late to do it, but I know I'm probably going to have to dig up all my asparagus and separate them.
Okay, we're losing his line.
Is it too late to do that, or?
Have they started to grow yet?
I haven't seen any yet.
Okay. Because here in my neighborhood, my friend who grows actual asparagus that you can see, mine has like 2 spears, but it's old. But she actually has a cultivated patch, and she has just picked her first spear. And at that point, it is too late to mess with them. But if you're not getting any kind of emergence yet, do it, but do it today.
Yeah.
Get after it quickly.
That may not happen today. I've got work to do.
Well, but you hear what I'm saying. You don't want to wait much longer.
Yeah, don't wait. But I'm thinking about just digging them up, taking my front end loader on my tractor and just digging the whole bed up and setting it off to the side and rebuilding it and setting that back on top of it.
Okay. Are you going to put them back in the same place?
Next year,
Okay.
Well, yes, ma'am. And I'm thinking about... I guess I need to separate them out, but they're about 5 or 6 years old.
Don't start separating yet. No, if you can keep them in one big chunk, they'll do a lot better. You don't need to divide them for a number more years. They really don't even get cooked.
Several years.
Yeah, they don't even get cooking good until they're about 5. Okay. I would also suggest make sure that you when you go to dig the soil that's underneath them now, be sure that you lime it. It's not going to make any difference today, but in 6 months when the roots get down there, you'll have a much better bed for them because that's one of the few things.
Oh yeah, well
soil.
Well, I'm building it. I'm gonna line the bottom with cardboard.
Okay.
But I'm going to get a pot mix from the co-op and pretty much fill it up. I'm going to put some limbs and stuff in the bottom, and I'm worried about that settling when it breaks down.
But, it won't do too much. But see if you can get a mix that's intended for garden beds, not growing in containers, if they have that
right.
at your co-op. They usually do.
They do.
Okay, good. It'll have more grit in it. That'll make a better choice.
All right. One more question.
Yes, sir.
How deep, if it does settle and I add more dirt to it, how deep will the asparagus be, not too deep for it to come through?
Well, you know, we need a bed that's 14 inches deep, if not more, if we can possibly create that.
I'm overdoing it, but I'm going to be 36 inches deep.
That's pretty deep.
But now, if it settles and I add more dirt to it, how much can I add?
That's hard because asparagus does not like to be messed with on its layer where it's growing. So the redoing it once is great. If you could limit this to about 24 inches deep, we'd be better off. But I think it's a great project.
Okay.
You just need to get it done because they're going to start growing here in a minute.
If I don't get some help building that frame, it ain't going to get done.
I hear that. I know just what you're talking about.
Right.
Good to hear from you. Thank you, sir.
Make sure I hadn't waited too late.
Nope. As long as they haven't started up and you do it quickly, you're on time.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you much. What an interesting idea.
Yeah. Front end loader.
I wish I had a front end.
It's always nice to have heavy equipment around.
I wish I had a front end loader.
That's ambitious.
I used to want things. Now I want a front end loader.
I know, right? Just move your asparagus closer to
from
the kitchen.
To there. That's right, from here to there. I like it. Let's see. What, Ken's in Jackson. What do orchid cactus look like, Christmas cactus look like if they're having trouble after repotting? They collapse.
Yeah.
That's usually what happens. They might look pale, but sooner than that, they usually will collapse. Interesting. Fascinating. We got some really good stuff, good questions coming in here.
It's obviously it's 12 days till spring.
It's clearly March. We're so happy about that. Well, by the way, speaking of March, today is Flower and Patio Day nationally. Someone has declared it that. So Mark and I are celebrating. We're going down to the open house. Where are we going? We're going to Wesson, aren't we? We're going to Buds and Blooms
Blooms.
Just have a little fun.
Wow.
Some of our...
I wasn't invited.
Well, we just figured that you didn't want us to spend your money quite that quickly because guess what? It's going to go fast. It's a big nursery and we got lots to do. Stick around, though, because we'll be right back.
Running a business is tough. If you're struggling with HR benefits and payroll, you're not alone. Many businesses just don't have the resources to keep up. That's where MWG Employer Services comes in. We provide a full range of employer services with everything from payroll to benefits to HR services and compliance, and can create a custom plan that fits your needs and budget. We're a Mississippi-based company that can help you focus on what you do best, growing your business. Call MWG Employer Services today at 601-206-7966 or go to MWGEmployerServices.com.
Do you ever feel like you're in the dark? Well, with a propane generator, you'll never be in the dark again, at least when the lights go out. Enjoy the comfort and safety of knowing you have a propane generator always ready when the electricity goes out. Propane generators assure you'll always have power. Propane-fueled, clean cooking, hot water on demand, warm and consistent heat, and power when you need it most. Why would you choose anything else? Energy for everyone. Propane. Visit mspropane.com. That's mspropane.com.
is. We're having a fun morning today. It's Mark Peaches Patrick here with me. We're working on spring. What's it too soon? What's it too late? Where are we at? How's everything going? And I got to tell you something. All the questions this morning have been about, what am I going to do? When do I do it? How many do I put here? Where am I at? And in fact, part of what we're doing today in our world, our own world, is going, to look for just that sort of thing. What do I put here and where does it go and that sort of thing? So I wanted to let you know, here's the deal. It's tempting. It's very, very tempting to just run through the garden center, grab plants, say, oh, sure, I'll start these seeds for a plant I can't pronounce. Well, why not, you know, and just grab things. Please don't do that to yourself. It's so frustrating. These are the people that I go to visit as a consult, and they have stuff in their garage that's been there for 3 years that they still haven't figured out what to do with, and it's mostly dead. So here's the deal. Well, you know what I'm talking about.
I do know what you're talking
about. It's very serious. We're guilty of it. We just, oh, this will be beautiful. But if I haven't thought about where I'm going to put it, and if I haven't built the bed first, if I haven't thought about where what's going to actually end up happening here, then you end up with trays full of plants that you have to take care of, and it's like growing little tiny plants that you don't have any time or energy to do because you need to be building the bed they're going to go in. So with that, here is front-end gardening and just a few specifics. What you do now is going to translate directly to less work later. I promise, cross my heart on this one. Set a goal. The goal, in my opinion, is horticulturally thrifty growth. That is, it's going to proceed just like you expect it to. Going to have a flower in whatever how many weeks, going to have a fruit in however many weeks, and other than that, it's just going to grow and be happy. It's not that difficult. Part of that goes to plant choices. You get that Better Boy tomato, you know it's going to be easier to grow than one with a name you can't pronounce that's from Siberia that no one has tried here yet, okay? You know.
This Russian is, maters.
See,
Russian
we, maters. I mean, we, that's what we do to ourselves. Make sure you've got sun, particularly if you're going to grow vegetables. You got to have 6 hours of direct, 8 hours of indirect or dappled sun, really to grow almost anything more than a hosta. Okay, hostas don't need that much, but other stuff does. Beyond that, we go into cast iron plants. Give yourself the opportunity to work on your soil. Look out and find the difference between the potting mixes and the actual soil mixes for growing things in outdoors that are at your garden centers, your co-ops, and places like that. Finally, water in the will to use it. We know you got to fertilize, and if I can remind you to water, I can remind you to fertilize. Obviously, this is how we get started. This is called front-end gardening. Now, then we'll, later on, we'll talk about the pest patrol and
like
the things
that
you have to do. But the more we do at the front, the less we have to do later.
I actually sent Lance a photo that I took yesterday at an unnamed big box store, and there was this beautiful woman and obviously her teenage son, and they had a goal. And this particular shopping cart is full of things that don't grow here. So I looked at my looked at my sidekick and I'm like, look at that buggy. And he's like, I know, sad, isn't it? Of course, I was working and didn't have time to correct her and say,
"Well,
ma'am."
And we don't want to fool anybody by saying that everything there is wrong. It's not.
No.
But if you don't know what the plant is and you don't know anything about it, and there's not a tag to say anything, and sometimes the tags are a little bit misleading too. They'll say flowering plant. I mean,
right?
You know.
And you know,
that's not enough help.
You know, I feel for her. It's going to look pretty for the weekend. I hope it's a wedding party.
I hope so, too.
But sometime next week, she's going to have to go back and replace it.
Yeah, it's going to be very sad.
Rapid fire for you here.
All right.
All right, we got Bubba in Starkville. How many tomato plants per cattle bucket?
Mm-hmm. We just talked about that.
You did that one. All right, I want to make sure you got that one.
And we're going either two or three, depending on how big they are.
A good local source for perennials.
Yeah, we were talking about that. The native plant sale is coming up at Crosby Arboretum, and if you are really into that whole thing, the one at the Clinton Community Nature Center already happened, but the one at Crosby Arboretum is coming up on March 21st and 22nd.
Yes.
But I got to tell you, the two plants that she asked about, Clara Curtis Mums and Solomon Seal, are usually available, she's in Madison, but they're usually available at larger independent garden centers. That's not the plant you're going to find at the big box,
right?
Because it's not a nationally popular plant, but you should be able to find it.
And those are usually easy to find. The Master Gardener plant sales.
Yeah, thank you. Exactly.
There's, there'll be at least three Master Gardener plant sales in the Jackson metro area. And then when you head south, north,
we've got all y'all.
They're
Lee
everywhere.
County, Lee County's, I'm getting ready for theirs too.
Yeah.
The 26th of April for the Metro Master Gardeners at Mynell. But we've got, literally, there's so many of them that if you don't happen to already know a Master Gardener or some call your cooperative extension and ask them if they have a group there or where the closest group is, and they'll be able to help you find that.
And the great thing about buying plants at one of these plant sales, or garden club, Master Gardener, whoever, you're buying them from people that grew them.
Yeah.
And you can find out what you really need to know.
And for example, in Itala County, the folks at FFA and the 4-H and all that, they do all that. And it just depends on where you are. So call your cooperative extension office and ask them, or ask at your local hardware, garden center type place, because they'll know too. They sold those people all the pots that they're making all the plants in,
right?
Or some of the soil or something. I wanted to talk about this one photo that's up here that we'll go nameless. We have a friend who has terrible allergies, and with some advice from me and mostly his own knowledge, Mark is changing it up so she can actually go out in the yard.
Yes.
And I have to tell you that I think that using a whole lot of small rocks on the side where there used to just be moss and grassy mess is so beautiful. How did y'all decide to do that, and how did you go about it? Because this is it's a big space, and it's a space that is seen from the house, so this got to look good. So how did you do that?
Well, it's such an incline. You basically start with the process of elimination. What is not going to slide down the hill and end up in this lady's living room? Literally.
Yes, literally.
And the big stone, she has so much green going on.
Yeah, I like the contrast in color. It's a very light stone.
She needed something to brighten it up. Anything else you put back there would have just melted into the landscape.
Yeah, been more green and brown.
It was like putting a highlighter on the side of a mountain, and I'm not kidding everybody, it's literally straight up and down.
It's beautiful.
Well, you had a picture of yourself using a tiller.
Yeah,
it looked like a little bit of work.
It's a lot of work.
Well, it wasn't a picture, it's a video. I'll pop that up a little later.
We have a good note about thank you for your advice from Cardboard, that if you put cardboard down, that you are likely to get ants and spiders underneath it. That's true if you're using it up on the surface. These folks are both talking about using it down below the surface, and so she says that she puts down some ant poison before she uses that. Just don't do that in your vegetables.
Yes.
But it's a good thing to know about.
When you're talking about vegetables, you have a beautiful picture, and you may have hit this already, but I was over here. The plum tree with the oak-looking moss on it. What do you do with that? Because I've seen that before.
Well, lichen is a problem, and lichen has always got – this is in Boca Chita. Good morning, Greg. The question is always, what's too much? If we tried to get rid of all of the lichen in the world, we would be sad. And when you go to Etsy or any of those places that sell craft supplies, you realize that people actually sell this in bags.
He had a whole yard full of it.
Yeah. And I've been known to put a piece up or two because it's pretty just to look at. I don't bring it indoors, but that's me. Now, what is it? Well, lichen grows naturally. Lichen is not something that anybody introduced into your yard. It's there all the time. Lichen is able to grab hold of your plant material and grow on it, first of all, if it's woody material, and second of all, if it's not really growing too good. That thrifty growth concept where things just continue to proceed to grow on, it might be slowly, it might be quickly, depends on the plant, but that it grows at a predictable rate. These trees, and this one I can tell by looking at it, has pretty much slowed down to an almost stop.
It's almost there.
And that's the problem. And so what the answer is, fertilize the tree, keep it watered if the summer is dry, and try and get the lichen to dissolve off of there. You can go scrape it off with something, get it physically, take it off the tree, but what you're trying to see is that it doesn't keep going. And obviously it hasn't, the tree hadn't been pruned in
some time.
It's like a beautiful layout there.
Oh, it's
all
lovely.
Kind of trees around
it's
there.
Lovely.
Beautiful.
It's lovely. Bogachit is nice.
No, beautiful. Yeah. And that is a very easy place to grow stuff.
Yes, indeed,
area, right?
Indeed.
Yeah.
Good photograph of some tomato seedlings that are in cups. I keep waiting for somebody to write a song about that because we do grow seeds and everything. And these are like the solo cups, you know.
And that's a red solo cup.
And there's a song about that. There's a song about that.
Very popular.
But I can tell you just, and you can look at this, and we can all chant together. Not enough light.
Yeah.
The light is not close enough to the seeds. They're stretching it at their very first opportunity to try to find some light. So that's what their problem is. I would start over again.
If you do that, is it that there was not enough dirt or soil to push it up closer to the top of
the
cup? The lights just weren't down
close enough.
Gotcha. Basically, in a nutshell, the minute, you know, having germinated hundreds of thousands of tomato seeds, the minute you start seeing leaves sprout from that seed, you have to get some light to it, or mm-hmm. it's going to stretch to the light.
Mm-hmm.
And people do that all the time. They want to do them fast, and then they push them.
Well, and I made some of mine wimpy in the same batch this time. Now, I've never grown this tomato before, but what I discovered was that it was they were close. The light was where it was supposed to be, but I hadn't fertilized enough.
Right.
So I was getting pretty, but not too exciting growth. So now they're outside hardening off a little bit. I planted the ones that were in really good shape.
The idea is to slow the top down but keep the roots going.
Right. It's not easy to do.
It's not.
Is there a way to do that? Because what I had a problem with last year was it seemed like my tomatoes wanted to grow up. They just keep growing taller and taller and taller. And that, they're beautiful, but they seem to struggle to produce the fruit that you want. Mm-hmm. How do you slow them down from growing up? Just prune.
8 hours of sun.
Yeah. And you have to punish them a little bit.
You have to, yeah.
That sounds
and
bad.
But it's a little bit too much nitrogen in your soil mix.
Okay.
Yeah. It's like,
or in your fertilizer.
It's like when you have too much coffee, Lance.
That's impossible.
Things are just moving on a little too quickly. That's right. Things are just moving on a little too fast. I think I've caught up on everybody. Okay, thank y'all very much. I appreciate y'all's text. This is really why we're here. Somebody said to me not too long ago, what is it that you do on the radio? It's not a gardener, and, you know, met him under another circumstance. And I'm not entirely suspicious of people who are not gardeners, but I do find their questions interesting. They must not listen to the radio either.
Yeah.
Doesn't have to be me. But what you do is you talk about something you know about. If you're really lucky, you have Valerie Geller's advice on your head to tell you to, you know, keep it interesting and make it count and never waste anybody's time, which is just a paraphrase of her exhortations to us. But that's because what we're talking about is something we care about greatly and that we want everybody to do better at in this season than they did in the season before. And in fact, you will, because guess what? We all get better. We really do. I have to tell you, we've got some... I think it was a friend of the program, Jerry Palmer, who was posting about the differences in milkweeds.
Yes.
We talk about this all the time, that the population of butterflies generally, not just monarchs, but the population of monarchs is actually up this winter in Mexico. That's good. But the population, generally speaking, in this century is down 22% of overall of butterflies. And interestingly enough, the biggest population declines are in our Southwest, Arizona, New Mexico, Oklahoma, and Texas. And I would say that we are lucky enough to have a whole lot of plants that are sustaining for butterflies and moths here that have adapted to the climate. Because it's when the trees can't grow or the flowers can't grow that the butterflies don't have anything to eat, and then their populations get troubled. But we seem to be in pretty good shape for that.
That's good news.
Mm-hmm. That part of it.
That is good news.
They did millions of butterflies in 550-plus species when they surveyed this. Makes my head hurt. 76,000 butterfly surveys, various groups, millions of the insects, and that their numbers dropped in since 2000, right, in the contiguous United States. So all of y'all who are hearing us talk about how important it is to garden for the pollinators, or as one of my favorites is, be gentle. You know, garden gently. You don't need to pull out the biggest gun for the littlest bug yet.
And, you know, with the whole pollinator push, they've made it almost intimidating to some gardeners because they get super scientific about it. The idea is just follow, make it easy.
Plant more flowers.
You can't go wrong if you just plant more flowers.
See? How do I know there'll be flowers this year? Because I'm planting flowers.
That's right.
We'll be right back.
Catfish Chum was a river hobo, lived and died by the river's bend.
Hey there, homeowners! Sammy the Shovel here with an important message from Mississippi 811. Internet fiber expansions are being added, making it more important than ever to know exactly where your utilities lie when digging on your property. Whether it's simple landscaping or a large project, you need to call 811 at least 3 working days before you dig. Even with laws in place, safety is in your hands. Do the right thing and call 811 every dig, every time. You dig?
Are you looking for a contractor for your new home or remodel? Go licensed. Unlicensed contractors may try to convince you that pulling your own permit can save you money, but they may do shoddy work, or in some cases, no work at all, costing you far more in the long run. Protect yourself and your investment by comparing estimates from 3 licensed contractors. Remember, go licensed.
For more information, contact the Mississippi State Board of Contractors at msboc.us.
When a woman experiences...
I just love that song.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's McGee's Reel, but that's one of the reasons I like it. Today, my friends... Golly, were either of y'all born in 1972?
74 for me.
He's not going to tell. That's when Atari's Pong was invented, okay?
Oh, wow.
Today is Retro Video Game Day, and I'm here to tell you that Pong is almost too old to even be retro.
Yeah, I'm going to say it's almost not even a video game, but it was a start.
It was the start. Mike, I was bartending funny. In those days, and I can tell you that it was worth a lot of tips.
Blink.
Somebody would
hit. Spin it. You know,
since they wanted to get higher up in the line to get to it and all this stuff. It was like, oh my goodness, it was a raffle to get a spot to play the game.
But if you knew how to get that little... You know,
all of that.
At the very bottom where you kind of get like the English on it.
Yeah, put a spin on it.
You had to do all of that. Well, I have to confess that I did not like Duck Hunt, but I did like Legend of Zelda when my kids were little. That was fun.
The face on those ducks.
That was too weird.
Yeah, it was crazy.
I was a Frogger's guy.
Well, that's another popular big deal, you know.
Turtles on a log. But there was something about it.
The simpler the technology, apparently, the more popular the retro game is. Mario Brothers and all that.
Nothing like the good old Miss Pac-Man at Mr. Gaddy's.
Absolutely.
Donkey Kong.
On it, and yeah, the 3 games in one. Had the little ball. You could barely slide it. It was so greasy. Mr. Gaddy's.
Wow.
Remember that? The one over there off Old Canton.
I knew people that worked at different
Mr.
Gaddy's.
That was like where every party that you had after a baseball game went.
Went there. Mm.
Whatever happened to Mr. Gaddy?
There's still Gaddy's around. It's just really? I don't think we have any around here anymore.
I can almost tell you, but I won't do that. But anyway, I find it interesting that the only thing that is still in the world of that world now is actually Sonic the Hedgehog. That was popular then, and now there's a brand new movie.
Yeah.
It's like number 4, too, I think.
It's crazy,
good,
isn't it?
Actually.
Who knew? I'm sure that it's hard to think of that as a nostalgic thing, but that's what they say is the big popularity of it, is that it's nostalgic.
I might even have a Sonic the Hedgehog in my aka office, that came out of a Happy Meal. I'm not sure.
Somewhere in there.
Yeah, maybe.
Could be. Why not? Well, I'm gonna just launch into this because I really want to talk about a couple of things this morning. And when we get into our next hour, we'll have plenty of calls and texts because y'all are so kind to do that. Thank you very much. But my goodness, there is some stuff. This is something I want you to contemplate, guys. The University of Toronto is letting us know that a new study finds that people who habitually try to be happier. Now, you understand what that is. Those are people who do conscious things to try and keep the positive above in their mind. Keep good thoughts. Hold a good thought. I had an aunt that would say that. It used to drive me crazy. But anyway, that all of that. It actually turns out that we have less willpower if we have fallen into that. If you're trying to be happy, it makes you unhappy because you lose your self-control. I'm sorry. Who's on the phone, sir?
Well, we have Faye in West Point, and she has some questions about lemon trees.
Oh, fun. Good morning. Welcome into the Garden Mama Show. What's on your mind?
Thank you. Well, I've called you before about lemon trees. Mm-hmm. I grew these just from seeds. I just thought, okay, I'm just going to throw all these seeds in here and see what happens. Well, I think I had about 50. I think every one of them came up.
Oh, but my goodness.
Anyway, so I saved the better ones. My question to you is, this winter, I took them out to our country house where it's not, doesn't say really warm in there, not freezing, but I mean, it's not like my house.
Mm-hmm.
Had them at the end of a table by the light, by the window, and I just brought them home, and they, about 2 weeks ago, the leaves on them were so shiny and pretty. Excuse me, I've got a frog in my throat. Now, the leaves are just dull. They're mm-hmm. just dull mm-hmm. looking. And I actually have one, green leaves, I've actually have one that's turned striped.
Mm.
Is that rare, uncommon? Do you have striped lemon trees?
I don't happen to have one, but sometimes there will be a leaf that is not colored in the same way as the others. It'll be darker on one half of it and lighter on the other. And I know those things can break
That's exactly the way it is.
Obviously, if we could keep it variegated, we'd have a new lemon and we'd all make a lot of money.
Exactly.
but I doubt seriously
well,
that I imagine that it will grow out of that.
One.
How big are they now?
Well, they are, they're probably 2.5 feet.
Okay, and are they one to...
And what I did was I put like 3 seedlings, mm-hmm. you know, when I pulled them out to replant them, mm-hmm. I put like 3 of them in one hole.
In a gallon pot, about that big?
Yes.
Okay. Here's what I think. I think they're just letting you know that they've grown all they can grow in that cool environment. What do you think, Mark? Fertilizer?
Yeah. Fertilizer.
Put them outside.
Warm them up. Get them outside.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They're gonna. Okay, I mean,
well,
I'm impressed.
I've had them home for a week now, and I've been setting them out every day.
Good. How cold is it at night?
And then bring them. We were 34.
Okay.
Before life.
Good idea to bring them back in. So
yeah.
As long as it's doing that.
Yeah. I'm gonna bring them back in.
But do fertilize them. Get some citrus fertilizer and get after them. But I'm impressed.
I'm having a hard time. I tried to find the citrus fertilizer last year at Lowe's and Home Depot, and that's all I have. My co-op doesn't have it because mm-hmm. it's smaller. And so I've had a hard time finding. Let's just put it this way. They have not been fertilized.
Okay.
Use
something.
Issues.
If you can't find a citrus fertilizer, then get some kind of fruit tree fertilizer and let them get started.
Okay, but, so the fruit tree will be fine.
It'll
too.
Be okay.
Yeah.
It'll be okay. There's a few things that are different,
well,
but not many.
A little of that.
Thank you. I'm so tickled to hear this. I remember you saying that you had planted them, and I'm so hopeful, you know, that I'm holding that good thought, see?
Yeah.
But sometimes you have to say,
have
I hope this works.
Yeah, we have a lady that sells lemons and oranges at Christmas, Satsumas, and so she gets them in Louisiana.
Nice.
And the lemons that she gets is the most unbelievable thing. And so I buy, like, 20 pounds of lemons.
I love it.
And
wow.
I go ahead and I
this is a lady after
out.
My own heart.
That's a lot of lemons.
And put them in little, well, I actually bought some cheap plastic ashtrays.
Absolutely. Oh, that's wonderful.
So I have fresh lemon
all
the time. And I had the seeds. And I said, okay, I'm not going to throw these seeds away. I'm putting them in here. And if they come up, they come up. If they don't, they don't. And I just went off and left them. And I thought, well, they're not going to come up. They're not going to come up. And finally, one day, they were peeping through.
That's the story we love to hear. Thank you.
Yeah, I appreciate your time.
Appreciate it. I can't wait to see the pictures when they're making flowers. This is going to be fun.
If she's listening and not watching, she did not see my eyebrows go up when she said they're 2.5 feet. I'm like...
I'm thinking of like lemon filling for the donuts with 20
see,
pounds
there you
of lemons.
Go.
That's right. The jelly.
That the plastic ice cube trays full of lemon juice and basil and all the things that we can't get all year round really do make a difference in the way that you eat and the way that you drink and the way that you think about things all winter. I'm a very seasonal sort of person. I'm not necessarily looking for watermelons in December, except when I was pregnant. But that's a different, that's that whole seasonal thing makes a big, big difference in the way things taste. As she says, it's so delicious, she's willing to buy all those and get them into her freezer. I love that. Thanks for letting us know all of that today. Y'all are great. We have to step aside, don't we?
We do.
Okay. Well, there'll be some news, there'll be some sports, and then there'll be some us. Stick around.
Are you a business owner looking for help with HR benefits and payroll? MWG Employer Services offers a wide range of services and can create a custom plan that fits your needs and budget.
I was so overwhelmed with HR stuff. MWG Employer Services took all the stress out of it and even set up my payroll. I couldn't be happier.
MWG Employer Services is here to help you succeed. Call us today at 601-206-7966 or go to MWGEmployerServices.com.
How can propane gas enhance your outdoor experience this season? When it comes to outdoor grilling, there is no better source than propane. But have you thought about a beautiful outdoor fireplace and lighting fueled by propane as well? The perfect setting. Worry-free grilling with propane. A golden propane fire to sit by. And soothing propane lights burning in the background. Impress yourself, friends, and family with propane. Propane. Clean American energy. Visit mspropane.com to learn more.
From the trees over your head to the lawn you hate to mow and everything green in between, Garden Mama's here to help you keep on growing. Still the empress of everything green, here's your horticulture maven, Garden Mama Nellie Neal, on Super Talk Mississippi.
Welcome in. I really like texting. Y'all have the greatest text. What fun. We're going to rip through some of this. Okay, Mark, here we go. Is 13-13-13 good for pear trees?
A little stout.
Just a little stout.
A little much.
If you don't have a choice, if you have a 50-pound bag of it sitting around, I would use it, but be careful.
Go light. Yeah. You don't want to.
Then the reason we're saying this is because there's too much of everything in it. For a pear tree. If you put in what we traditionally think of as, drilling four holes around the tree when you're going to use that kind of fertilizer in it, make them 6 inches deep and only drill two.
Right. And if you think you're going to put a cup in there, put a tablespoon.
Yeah, that's really smart. Really, really smart. Paula from Dentville says she's the youngest person in her Master Gardener group that she haunts. I guess that means she doesn't belong to the group. She just follows them around. Which is okay.
She's a garden groupie. That's okay.
I like that. Greg's got a bunch of onions for sale right now. He says, is it okay to plant them? Yes, you can plant them now. I plant them whenever I see them. Sometimes it ends up being just for green onions, and sometimes they turn into full-blown onions. But I don't have any problem with that. What do you think? Do you even grow onions?
I do. You know, I lifted some and I haven't replanted them yet.
Mm-hmm.
So I probably need to do that. But I'm so worried about my celery, I can't concentrate on anything else.
Tell me how the celery's doing, because you do pretty celery.
The celery is it's phenomenal. That's it's phenomenal.
Great. Now, you're growing the kind with the stalks or the cutting celery?
That's okay. The stalks.
Okay.
Not everybody can do that. Bloody Mary type of celery.
Ah, the Bloody Mary type of celery.
It is the Bloody Mary type of celery. Yeah.
Y'all are funny.
Now I just need a hog or two, so I'll have bacon to go in them.
You know? Oh, now that's, see, that there yeah. you go. There's.
We're going to have to move you out to the country.
I know, right?
Slightly larger. I don't think they would go for that.
No.
They're nice people. I just don't think you want to do that. But yeah, I would plant some now, Greg. In fact, I would plant them with maybe only an inch between the little tiny seedling onions. Yeah. And then therefore you would have green onions in about a month. What do you think?
Yeah, they're fast.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the gentleman earlier with the asparagus. It's like
before you know it,
he may run to town to get groceries and come back and he'll have asparagus.
They've already started because they go quickly once they get started.
I hate to reverse thought, but in regard to the 13-13-13, mm-hmm. is there any other type of fertilizer you can add to that would dilute it into a form if you have multiple that's it, and don't mess with it.
Yeah.
Just go light.
The most of the formulations of that particular fertilizer are intended to be dropped out of the back of a tractor in a row somewhere. And as a result, they have the carriers that are in them do not dissolve quickly, and they are, because they're supposed to last. They're supposed to be there when they, you don't want to put down a fertilizer that's going to immediately dissolve into your 500-acre farm. You're trying to make that stuff last a while. And it also, the carriers are different. They're much more highly salted because they're not going to be in the roots of a tree. They're going to be in the ground underneath a crop. So
the triple 13 thing came about before there was a lot of research about fertilizers, and every farmer gardener in all over the country put triple 13 on everything.
That's why we have too much potassium worldwide.
Now now that there's been research and we know better, it's just a little strong for all purpose. Mm-hmm. You don't keep it in the cabinet like you do a bag of flour.
No. People have had the same experiences with 888. They felt like 888 didn't go quite fast enough, so that's when they jumped up,
Yeah.
I mean, when I was in school, we used 16-24-24. I mean, it was a lot of fertilizer, and a lot of it, I believe, because what we were attempting to do was to get the harvest to be as large as it possibly could so that you knew what the potential of that crop was.
Right.
But in a practical sense, that was too much fertilizer. That's why they've taken out the potassium in a lot of lawn foods.
It's just not necessary.
Mm-hmm. Phosphorus. Some of them have lowered both of them. Anyway, okay, I don't know where this one is from, but we're going to rock into it anyway. Can you tell me how to fill a raised bed? I've read to start on the bottom with cardboard, but you mentioned that attracts ants. Actually, no. My texter said that if you use the cardboard as a mulch, it will attract ants underneath it. This is not a mulch. This is in the bottom of a bed. It's not going to attract that. Well, all it's going to attract is really the micro life and macro life that's in that soil. You got ants there. There might be some, but it won't be because of the cardboard. How to fill it? I mix all my own soil. I have a giant pile of leaves. Not everybody's going to do that stuff.
No.
The mixes that we can get at co-ops and garden centers that are intended for beds, not potting soil, not potting mixes, not in a container, but in a bed, I think are excellent for raised beds.
Oh, I think so too. I do the same as you. We mix everything. Mm-hmm. You will see bags that say garden soil, and you'll see a bag that says raised bed soil. As long as your raised bed is big enough, mm-hmm. you can mm-hmm. use the garden soil in conjunction mm-hmm. with the raised bed mm-hmm. soil. And then it's like making stew. You just use a little bit of all these products. Unfortunately, a lot of the bulk products in the garden centers have a lot of weeds in them.
That's true. And sometimes they don't drain as well as
they're a little
as
too
advertised.
they're a little too heavy. So you have to be careful of that mm-hmm. too, because one of the reasons for building a raised bed is for weed control and easier
and so,
gardening.
Yeah, so that you can control the situation.
So if you start introducing a bunch of, you know, weeds, you know, i.e. nut grass, which is one that's in almost all the bulk soils
these days.
Then, you know, but
it took me a while to get that out of there.
Mix it up a little bit. Just make sure it drains well.
Tony is in Brandon. Best tomatoes for a raised garden box. I'm going celebrity. I'm going the determinant, nice slicing tomato, but it's only going to be about 4.5 feet tall. It's not going to be. It's not going to be my, you know, cherry tomato in a 5-gallon pot that's 6 feet tall.
Right, you know? Right.
That's harder to manage.
You know, we differ on that one. I like a lot of the bush varieties. Mm-hmm. You know, because I don't like tying and I don't like staking.
Yeah, well, that's why I like celebrity, because it's just going to do that. But I will say that there are some delightful teeny tiny things like Tom Thumb, small plants that can grow actually in hanging baskets. And those are really nice for raised bed boxes, too, if you want something that's low growing.
Sun Sugar is a fun one, too.
Sun Sugar is a lot of fun. Great taste. Yeah. Delicious, delicious one.
Man, I'm getting hungry. Stop.
Let's see, what do you do when you get ants if you don't put ant poison near your vegetables? Actually, there's two things that I do. The first is that if the ants pop up where I'm growing food of any sort, fig trees, all of that, I'll pour hot water on them and run them off somewhere so that they can go to where I can control them. Because I don't want those products, even the spinosads, even the ones that are naturally sourced, I don't want to dump all that into my growing area. So that's what I do for the ants if I have them. I don't like ants.
Yeah, and they're back. You know, we had, a week, and they were deep, 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 and then we had one warm rain, and they're all back.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting. There are a couple of places at my house that are always going to have that one little tiny amount of sedge weed that's dry, you know, has a little white, it's one of the euphorbias related to poinsettia. And at that same place, there will always be, because that space is so dry, there will always be an attempt at an ant getting started. And they usually can't do it, but sometimes I have to go look again. Because where it's real, real dry in wet weather, they're going to find a spot if they possibly can.
And I've also found that you can always tell when there's a gardener living there, because their trail and their grass goes around where the ants hang out at. You know, they're always kind of in the same place.
That's very true.
Yes.
That is.
They're kind of
funny.
Territorial.
Well, yeah, you're right about that, too, because that's one of the things that we're always summertime wreaths on the front of trucks. Oh, my goodness. If you got some lichen, this is Deb and Wesson. This is exactly what I was talking about. Contact a local woodcarver's club. They will offer classes, and they use lichen to teach carving bearded faces.
So, there you go.
Come on now. I mean, it's fun. It's a hobby. It's a thing. It's like this moss. Some people can't live around it. Some people are looking for it. You know, it's just the way the world is. That's why we're gardeners. We don't have to all agree about anything. We can talk about one point of view or another point of view, or we can just keep disagreeing, or in either way. Actually, no, we're not having a class today. We're going shopping.
We're going shopping.
So come go shopping with us. Yes, we will be at Buds and Blooms, noonish or so. But we're going to their open house because it's such a great garden center.
Yeah, it's fun. I'm excited. Super excited.
Y'all are funny. Inverness. Turnip, mustards, and broccoli. Look at that. That's really funny. A bon-eyed girl instead of brown-eyed girl. Thank you very much. I wish they were still on as a sponsor. I would consider doing that because I sure do like their stuff. Their all-season oil is one of those products that you just can't beat. Now, you still can't use it in above 85 degrees. They don't label things with the South in mind, but as far as a good product that sprays easily and sticks around for a long time, it's a good one from Bonide.
They do have some great products.
Mm-hmm,
they really do.
Oh, this is a good question. You'll like this. Jackie and Brandon's got, how much do you cut back Kimberly ferns? Part of it doesn't look like it's coming back at all. Do I split it up and repot it? What do you do? I know, but there's the easy Uh-oh. Answer is buy a new one every year. But if you're not going to do that, how do we handle them?
You can split it. Be patient. We've grown some in 30-gallon pots, and I've had to split them with an axe.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, they're huge.
Yeah, they
but
are.
You split them up, put them in some good soil, discard the part that's obviously not coming back. You know, and they'll
rebound. Will stop in front of your house and pick that up and take it with them.
They'll rebound. That's kind of a pipe dream. You know, I try to get rid of extra plants that way, and nobody ever shows up. One or two. But, yeah, the ferns, be patient. It takes time. It definitely takes time.
Oh, my goodness. I appreciate this this report, and I'm going to do something about it. But it isn't me or you, so we're okay.
Good.
Yeah.
As long as I didn't do anything, that's a good thing.
Oh, my goodness. Corinne, this is a great question. How come my so-and-so won't bloom? In this case, it's the quince that she moved, flowering quince. She moved it 2 years ago into a sunnier bed, and it still won't bloom. First year, I would say probably you pruned it too late because you moved it, and then you pruned it after the buds started following along. I don't know why it won't bloom now. I noticed that mine only has a few blooms on it, and I think some of them were already there and got frozen. I just didn't notice it. But on the other hand, I haven't fertilized it in about 3 years, so maybe somewhere in there. If yours was already budded up, though, it's one of those things that just a freak overnight can actually damage the buds. But if the buds are not forming, I would say get a flowering shrub fertilizer and use that, or a flowering plant. You could use something you use for perennials, just whatever. It's a flowering plant. That means that you're going to have a low first number, higher second number, higher third number, higher second and third numbers, as opposed to the first. The first is a nitrogen. Obviously, it's growing, so it has plenty of that. So we'll go that way.
Quince is a tricky one. You know, I've been a little encouraged to see that the forsythia didn't get knocked out.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, it's back. Yeah, quince can be, I'd say,
oh my goodness.
Give it a year.
This is a good one. Hey, Mama and Peaches, what is this that popped up at the base of my hibiscus after the snow in Louisiana? That's great. It looks to me like a snowdrop.
A snowdrop?
Leucothem. Isn't that the name of that? With the little green spots on the petals. That's pretty.
That's a lucky happen right there.
And in honor of buds and blooms, here's the cactus tree that she bought there 5 years ago. It is now as tall as the door.
Wow.
It's just gorgeous.
Wow.
Pencil cactus. I love that plant.
Yeah.
That plant.
I need to put that on my list.
Mm-hmm. See? It's a good one. It's one that we don't think about. But when you see it, you realize that you're glad you have one because they're so pretty. And they the colors and everything can just be really nice in there.
Add that to the collection.
Oh, my goodness. Y'all are fun. Let's see. What have I missed down here?
I did a 15-minute scurry last night to get everything that could come out of the house. We were slinging things. You know, and then we're going to hold our breath.
Well, yeah. I'm going to put things into the shade in the front of the house, which is also the part that gets the sun first in the morning. So it doesn't have very much sun, but it's more protected. So I'm working on that tomorrow. We'll do that today.
The great lengths that we're going to save everything, I figured it was time to put a little more time into it.
Yeah, or put a sign in the front yard that says plant sale.
Plant sale, yeah.
Would black landscape fabric be better than cardboard for my raised beds? If this is the bottom of the bed, it you're just trying to put it so that nothing comes up from the bottom right away, it's fine too if you happen to have some. Cardboard is a one that we use because it's just, we can recycle it. You know, the boxes are sitting around from whatever you ordered from somewhere. And don't say the name. And would 18 inches
None of them.
Be a better choice to help suppress Johnson grass? If you have the wherewithal to build and fill with good growing soil, an 18-inch bed, sure. I would actually myself like to see it 4 inches deep into the soil that you already have. Again, scrape everything off of it, till that part up. But if you want to actually put a bottom into the box, then that's a different story. So there's that moss we were pulling up.
Yeah. I have a new respect for moss.
It's great stuff. I mean, it's great stuff. I'm telling you.
That was a giant moss.
Just so you
slurry.
Know, suppressing Johnson grass, I believe, is the reason why so many people invented or became aware of solarization. Because when you get Johnson grass in a space where you intend to grow something else, whether it's lawn or a flower bed or something else, it's really, really hard to get rid of. And cutting it down to the ground, covering it up with plastic, and sealing that up through the hot weather of the year is one of the best ways, because it has deep roots and it will outlast all of us. I'm sorry we can't weave it into baskets.
Yeah.
We've been trying that for years, but nobody's managed to find a way to do that. Yeah. Ah, la petite. Thank you, sir. We got to step away, but we'll be back. Going to talk about some backyard attitude. I like that. Okay? We'll be back.
Hey there, homeowners. Sammy the Shovel here with an important message from Mississippi 811. Internet fiber expansions are being added, making it more important than ever to know exactly where your utilities lie when digging on your property. Whether it's simple landscaping or a large project, you need to call 811 at least 3 working days before you dig. Even with laws in place, safety is in your hands. Do the right thing and call 811 every dig, every time. You dig?
I'm Dr. Dan Edney, a state health officer. The community health workers fit in perfectly with improving the health and safety of all Mississippians. To help us improve access to care, navigate health care systems, and to help overcome social determinants of health. What I would say to legislators is community health workers extend our ability to serve the people of Mississippi. They indeed are the heart of the community.
Learn more at msdh.ms.gov/supportourchws.
Can we dance?
We do have one of our familiar voices on the horn here, and we'll talk to the Birdman in a little while.
Oh, wonderful. Mr. Ken, hey, Ken, what's going on, darling?
Hey, how are you?
Doing great. What's going on?
Well, all kinds of big-time news.
Oh, good, good.
I have finally turned in paperwork. This is going to shock you, because I thought it would never happen.
Uh-oh.
I'm actually going to retire.
Congratulations. The world will be sad, but I know you will be very, very happy once you do that. That's great.
Well, that's not the reason I called in, though. I just wanted to remind everybody that the hummingbirds are back.
Yeah.
And
get the feeders out there, folks.
Well, you know, I always teach never to take them down. That we need them up year-round, but if they do have them down, it's time to get them out, clean them up, put a little spit polish on them, and get them out, hung up, ready for the babies to
Isn't it amazing?
We usually see them sometime between now and the 12th every year.
Mm-hmm, so. Mm-hmm. That's in Zone 8 in the center of Mississippi. And, of course, they're beautiful, wonderful maps and calendars and that kind of stuff that you can check out if you don't want to know where they're going to be in your area. But it's absolutely true that if we keep the feeders up, we're always in better shape. Now, all those people who got one for Christmas and haven't unboxed it yet need to go get it out of the closet, you know, clean it up and
absolutely.
Make sure that you're... Talk to a little bit about the nectar for them, please, because it's people really do get confused.
4 parts of water to 1 part of sugar, and please do not use red food coloring in it.
Listen to the man. He's the expert.
Some things. We are learning some things about the red food coloring and hummingbirds that are not good. So more research is coming in on that all the time. But do not use the red food coloring. Just plain table sugar and water is all you need. Don't buy those prepackaged nectars. There's preservatives and everything else in them that are not good for the birds. Mm-hmm. 4 parts of regular water to 1 part of sugar. And it's not necessary, actually, to boil the water. A lot of people like to do that. If it's warm enough just to melt the sugar, that's all you need.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That's good news, because some people feel like, oh, now I got to go do this or do that. Just make it a little bit warm. If it will dissolve the sugar, it's fine for the hummingbirds. The other question, of course, is how do I keep the ants off of my feeder and the bees?
Well,
and
that's based on a number of things. The style of the feeder is helpful.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I prefer a feeder that's got an ant trap built into it. Of course, you can buy separate ant traps. Ants will not cross water. And you just take that ant trap and you fill it up with water and you hang that over the feeder. Or if you've got the style of feeder that I use, of course, I get mine from that store you know about.
Wild Birds Unlimited.
I didn't know if I was allowed to say it on the air.
You're always allowed to say anything you want to say.
They have a fantastic feeder that keeps the ants away, and it keeps out yellow jackets and wasps as well. So it's the best feeder on the market. It's the only one that I will use. And,
that's great.
And I don't get paid to say that anymore.
Well, here's the deal. When you find the one you like, we're always happy to share the one we like with everybody, because that's why we do these things, is so we can do that. When does all of this take effect? Are you retiring at the end of this year, or?
At the end of this school year, I'm going to lead one more tour full of students to Costa Rica in June. And after that, I'm going to start looking to travel around with my gorgeous wife on my own.
That's wonderful. That is wonderful. Well, she has been very patient waiting for you to do this. So, my congratulations
and
as well.
Things, I just pulled into school, and I am looking at a purple finch, not a house finch, a purple finch.
Oh, my goodness. See, they just follow you around. Ken, this is great.
Yes,
thank you for checking in with us today. Everybody always wants to know how you're doing and what's going on, and what we know. Now we know. We have a spring report from the Birdman. And if you're lucky enough, kiddos,
absolutely,
to be on that last tour that he's doing, it won't be the last tour he does, but it'll be the last student one. Y'all are lucky.
Right.
If you have
we're going to be doing adult tours.
If you have any students cancel, I'll be happy to sit in.
There's one extra little spot.
I've got one spot open.
Uh-oh, watch out. Watch out, we might be coming to see you. All right, darling, thank you very much. Appreciate you.
Absolutely.
Purple finches. My goodness, that's cool. How very cool is that?
And Costa Rica's on my radar.
Oh,
you
sure.
You know that. Right?
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
You know what? This is one of the things that I really don't think I talk about enough. There is a certain amount of gardening that goes to the details and the this and the that, you know, what you have to do and what you're going to do at another time. But there's also just why you're doing it and what you're doing. And I have come to take, well, I don't care whether you're in a commercial setting, whether you're at a congregate facility trying to get some flowers started, or whether you might be, I don't know, in your own front yard, you still need to adopt the backyard attitude. What do I mean by that? Well, I think you need to go a little easier on yourself. You need to make a place to garden that your favorite plants can hang out with you, but where you're not so nervous all the time. I've talked about one of my biggest mistakes when I was a grower was putting things right outside the windows of my house where I could see the tables with all of the fall mums growing. That meant that every time I walked through my house, I had to go do something outside and work. I didn't ever stop. I didn't get off work. That doesn't help your head. Doesn't help the plants too much either. So I call this the backyard attitude as opposed to the backyard garden. Lighten up a little bit. You may have one of this and two of that, and they may not grow together, or they might. If you like it, it's okay. It's perfectly all right. You don't have to have anybody else to be pleased except you in this backyard attitude. Now, I'm not saying that the homeowner association might not have something to say if you decide you're going to grow bamboo in the front garden. That's different. But if you can go with the flow a little bit, you got your beds made, then that's when you go to the garden center. That's when you go to the plant sale. And you say, well, I think this would be nice. I think I'll check on that. This would be fun, you know, as opposed to I have to get four shrubs that are exactly the same because this is the foundation planting of my house and this and that. You think that way. But give yourself a little bit looser attitude. Make two of them variegated. Make two of them a little bit different. Make the flowers happen. Here's how I try to go. Arrange the plants more or less by height and spread, but not entirely. An oddball can be very fun. I like to have different groups of flower shapes and colors, but I also want there to be some different ones in there too. We're talking about planting more flowers for the hummingbirds, for example. They don't all have to be red tubular flowers. You start there, but you're really just looking for a variety of flowers that are going to have lots of nectar and be attractive. Change your bloom times. Go for some things that bloom in the spring, but don't forget you're going to want that lantana to bloom out there in July when nothing else is. Give yourself some choices so that you have a little bit of this and that. Hang pots out of the trees. Turn old chairs into containers. One of the prettiest things I ever saw was in Holland. There were tulips growing in a chair that obviously had lost its bottom. It was just beautiful. You didn't want to sit on them, but you sure did like the way that it looked. Give yourself an opportunity to grow some things by seed. Let a few things reseed, be a little bit messy. Add a little hardscape if you like it. If you don't, get a chair and have a seat. The point is, take your backyard attitude and put it into every bit of your gardening that you do. The bottom line is, garden gently. Sustain your pollinators and yourself. You'll do better. Now.
Amen.
There are 47,000 more texts. So here
let's
we go. First of all, beautiful.
Well, we do
beautiful,
have a phone call.
Beautiful.
As well.
Okay. Beautiful, beautiful orchid from my darling, my second daughter. Just gorgeous. Her mama grew orchids, and now she's growing orchids, and I just think that's wonderful. It's a beautiful one. When you see it at supertalk.tv, it is stunning purple, just gorgeous, really beautiful. Who's on the phone,
sir? We have Willie in West Point, and he was curious about, he's about an hour north of us, and he was curious about hummingbirds and when to put out your feed. Willie, you're on with us.
Hey, Willie, welcome in. Thanks for calling.
Yes, ma'am. I live in West Point, about an hour north of you. And you was talking about putting out your hummingbird feeders now?
Yeah. Go ahead and get them ready.
Okay, well,
you're only about 10 days later than us, so we're looking at them any day now here, so you're looking at them in about 10 days. So go ahead and get your feeders up, and
my feeders are ready. All I got to do is mix the water
excellent.
And put them up.
Excellent. That's wonderful. I'm so glad you're doing that. Thank you. The hummingbirds appreciate it,
I
do too.
I've been listening to your show off and on, and when I get a chance to, probably 10, 15 years, and
you have
helped me a whole lot.
Means the world to me. Thank you so much for that.
Yes, ma'am, and I would love to meet you sometime, but I'm an 84-year-old man, and I don't get too far from home.
Well, I don't get out much either, but we can talk here, and we can always be together here in the radio garden. Thank you so much for calling today.
Yes.
I appreciate that.
Yes.
Take some pictures of those hummingbirds and send them to us. That'll be fun. We'll have a crop this year of hummingbirds as well as all of our flowers. Cleveland, Stacy's in Cleveland. She wants to know about growing moss. Well, how much time do you have? Mark and I have been, we're into this moss thing. First of all, when you take it up off the ground, it doesn't really matter if it has soil attached to it, but it does make it a little bit easier to pick it up and move it around if it has just a little bit of soil attached to the bottom. You can take just the tiniest little scrapings, and when it's on brick, that's basically what you'll get, but it still comes up in mats. And the way that we've handled it is just to put it in flats and grow it with some fertilizer, and it really does look beautiful. I don't even know what the blend is on the fertilizer that I used. It was in a bottle, and I squirted some, you know, I put the appropriate amount into the thing and just watered them, and they greened up. Now, I will tell you that there are some weeds always in the moss, and the sooner you pick them out, the better. I've been using tweezers so that I can produce this really pretty blanket of moss. When we go to plant it in the garden, it's going to be 4-inch squares approximately. That'll be then a foot apart because it is going to spread into itself, and we'll probably mulch in between. But after a rain, it's going to take well, and then it's going to have to be watered regularly until it gets knit into the ground. And that's all that I really know about it.
Yeah. You know, there are different recipes where you can actually take the moss and put it in a blender with buttermilk.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And yogurt, too.
And yogurt, mm-hmm. and spread it onto the surface that you want it to grow on. But it's really pretty simple. And if you like it, it's beautiful.
Yeah, it's gorgeous. And it has a lot of fans. There are people that can't stand it. There are people who just love it. But, and if you're trying to get rid of it, lime helps to get rid of it. But find a neighbor that wants it and just let them come harvest yours.
And a 30-gallon garbage bag full of moss, it's very heavy.
Just so you know.
I'm just here to tell you. It's heavy.
Well, you mentioned that bulk soil might have weeds in it. Is that the stuff you buy by the scoops? Yes.
Yes.
So you don't want to go the expense of doing all this only to get weeds back in it. Well, if you can afford to do it in bag soil, they are generally a little bit more weed-free. Not to say that you're not going to still have weeds that blow in, but yes, the bag soils will be a little bit less so. I find that if I have the time and put the soil in and then literally just cover it up with plastic, clear plastic, for a week or two, anything that sprouts then will die, and the rest of it I just fight down the way. But I've not had a big problem since I got rid of the nut grass. And boy, that was a mess.
Yes.
Let's see. What? That looks to me, there's a flower here. This looks like a double bridal wreath spirea. And I wouldn't be surprised, because they're very old bushes, and this is a very old garden. It was very popular a long time, and they're still discovering it. But that's what it looks like. Yep, that's what that is. Really pretty. I like bridal wreath spirea. That's lovely. Okay, I'm going to send this one over to you.
Okay.
Let me see what else we got here. Lichen on blueberries, it's the same thing, John, late cormorant, as anywhere else. Scrape it off, but the point is that it's not growing well. You need to get all of those weeds out from around the base of the blueberry and fertilize it with some food that's intended for blueberries or for acid-loving plants of all sorts, and keep it mulched around the base so that the weeds are not competing for the fertilizer with your blueberry. That will help the blueberry get growing better, and that helps to get rid of the lichen. That's about as much as I can tell you.
Mississippi is a hot spot for lichens. With our humidity and the summertime moisture, I guess just
we
moisture
really do
in
have,
general.
Yeah, we really do have an ideal laboratory.
Definitely.
And some years we have terrible conditions, and then we have worse conditions, and so the trees, even if they were growing well, don't have as much chance to do that as they did before. I think that's probably the biggest thing. Ooh, we're getting a little ahead of ourselves now. It's not spring in the city. You just like John Sebastian. I know you. Jug band music, you know. That's a thing.
Jug band.
It is. That's a thing. All right, now. Stick around. We're going to talk about a few more things. The morning has gone so quickly. I appreciate y'all so much. We'll be back. Till I'm wheezing like a bus stop, running up the stairs, gonna meet you on the rooftop. But at night it's a different world. Go out and find a girl. Come on, and dance all night. Just like the heat, it'll be all right. And babe, don't you know it's a pity the days can't be like the night.
If you are building a new home or remodeling an older home, Amazing Propane is for you. A propane tankless water heater, a propane generator, a propane gas grill and oven, propane fireplaces, and even lighting. Propane, such a versatile, clean, cost-effective source of energy for any home. Energy for everyone. Propane. Visit mspropane.com. That's mspropane.com to learn more.
Are you a business owner looking for help with HR benefits and payroll? MWG Employer Services offers a wide range of services and can create a custom plan that fits your needs and budget.
I was so overwhelmed with HR stuff. MWG Employer Services took all the stress out of it and even set up my payroll. I couldn't be happier.
MWG Employer Services is here to help you succeed. Call us today at 601-206-7966 or go to mwgemployerservices.com.
Pick up. From the California shore to New York City, the beat don't ever stop. You can hear it on the radio.
Yeah, no lies here. If we don't know the answer, we just say, we don't know. We come back later and say, wait, we remembered something. We looked it up. We asked somebody else.
I have a quick question.
Yes, sir.
Is Lance still behind me?
Yes.
He's been so quiet today.
Well, yeah, you know, I don't want to get in the way of a great conversation. I don't think my expertise is as polished as y'all, so I'm going to let y'all do the work.
We would disagree at times, but thank you. We appreciate you. Any way you want to go is fine. Good questions. Only a few of the camellia buds have opened in this particular garden, even though they form on the plant. A couple of different reasons this can happen. The first is that one or two of them froze along the way. That does happen, and you can't get around it by early mid-season or late-season camellias because, frankly, it can freeze at any point in there. The other is that sometimes you'll see that only single bud open or only a couple out of five or six that form. It's occasionally because you have thrips. You'd have to split the bud in half and see if anything moves when you open it up. In that case, you would know you had thrips. What else could it be? Sometimes it's just that plant. Yeah,
sometimes they just abort.
And they don't necessarily fall off, but they don't necessarily open either.
And, you know, with the weather this year, noticing in one particular yard I've been spending a lot of time in, mm-hmm. because of the weird up and down weather, some of the camellias that should be finished are just now
putting up buds.
Yeah, throwing flowers in places.
I noticed that a couple of places I've been this week. And that doesn't make any sense, but that's the way it is. We're trying to figure it out, trying to make it make some kind of sense, but it doesn't always. The camellia question sometimes goes to, for example, if you're raising them for shows, you will take off every bud or every other bud as soon as they form anyway because you're trying to get fewer flowers and bigger ones.
Right.
So if that plant is giving you only three to open out of five that it forms next year, I would pluck off two or three. Just plop, plop, take them off when they first form.
It's
painful.
And see
if you can get... Well, yeah, but it's a matter of managing the plant. And, of course, if you're not fertilizing or if you have scale insects or... And, you know, I've never pruned it. Those are all things that can delimit the amount of flowering that it can do. But doesn't sound like petal blight, which is the other big problem that people have. Lydia has a problem with tomato wilt, and I think she's probably talking about blight. She says every year she has this problem. The first thing is to move your tomatoes to a different place in the garden. The second is to try a different variety, and the third is to space them better, and in fact put one over here and one over there and something else in between them. Sometimes that helps to stop the spread of just blight, because we do have blight.
And it hangs out.
Yeah, it's unfortunately, you don't have to invite it.
Yeah.
It's going to be there.
You're like,
you're right.
Oh, all winter, it won't be here. Well, then it shows right back up.
Yeah, it does. And that's why we move things around and do better air spacing. I mean, better air circulation by spacing them farther apart. Bubba has asked a question I do not know the answer to. I'm sorry, Bubba. I don't know if the purple martins, I don't know if the adults come back first, the older birds come back first. I don't know when they come back, and I don't know if they're back. So I have to leave it at
I don't know
on the purple martins. I'm sorry. I don't know.
Sometimes
anybody
you
just
knows.
Don't know. Send us a quick text, but that's why we say we don't know if we don't know. I think y'all have hit a new record for March in terms of the numbers of texts and calls, so thank you very much for that. I do keep track. I think I keep my own stats. See how many people are getting in touch over here. It's a lot this time. I got one that's a record setter for you. You know, Lance, you may remember we talked about Asian hornets at length, and they trapped the one or two of them up on the West Coast and all that, and trying to eliminate them from the area because they are so deadly. Well, one of the reasons they're so deadly is because all the things we thought they ate, they eat a whole lot more than that. The University of Exeter has been testing the hornet samples from France, Spain, Jersey, and the UK throughout the active season of their life, okay? Turns out that there are 1,400 different species in their guts. In other words, that's how much different kinds of DNA they have found in all of these. So when we have a pest that can eat that many things, it's going to be a bigger pest because it's not discriminatory. You can't eliminate it by boxing it out. It's going to find something else to eat. Feels like aphids.
That's mind-blowing.
Isn't that wild?
Yeah, that's crazy.
I mean, the fact that people actually study all that is kind of amazing, too. But, and I have one good point about the butterfly lacking. You may not want to know this, but the absolutely craziest thing for me is that the cabbage white moth butterfly is down by almost 50%. You would think that would mean we'd have fewer cabbage worms, but it's not true. They seem to be doing double duty. Tell him hello and to get in here if he's going to come in here. Where is he? What is he doing? People in the studio, my goodness. The adult martins come first, Deb says. She's in Wesson, she knows this. Let's see if she said anything else. Thank you. Appreciate that. Because we need to know. We don't know these things. Thank you, Bubba. I'm sorry, I don't know. Do you clear plastic? Do you use clear or black plastic? I use clear plastic for solarization. I don't use black plastic to cover up much unless you're covering the weeded space that you're going to walk on in between your rows. And I realize that some people will cover the rows in black plastic because it heats the soil faster. That means they can plant corn or whatever it is sooner. But the solarization process, trying to kill the things to a depth of 10 to 12 inches, is best done with clear, thick, like 6 mil plastic. Cut everything down. Don't pull it up. Just cut everything down and then cover it up. Tighten it around its edges very severely and walk away.
Walk away.
Don't come back for several months. Very important. Well, here's one that you might like. You might or might not like to know. There's a novel technology, my friends, that wants us to be able to taste in virtual reality. This is so foreign to me. If I'm going to put that thing on my head, I want to be able to see like fields of wildflowers in Switzerland. Okay, I'm not interested in tasting cake, but that's apparently what the next step is.
That could be interesting.
To make it a more, to get your sensors give them sensors so that they can taste like you taste. That's really crazy. And by the way, somebody said this to me the other day. When did we give up bitter and go to umami? Well, it's not different. They're two different things. But I'm not really sure when we brought umami into the culture, because we've always known sweet and sour and salty and bitter, and now we have umami.
We have another one.
Which is the richer of the flavors, actually, in my understanding. I'm certainly not somebody that knows a lot about all of that, but anyway. The uses of nitrogen fertilizer, the need for it has increased as we try to make more and more corn. It's just short-term gain, long-term, what are you doing? I mean, right. I recognize ethanol, I recognize corn, I get all that. But if we're actually having to put more and more nitrogen on it, shouldn't we be putting something in the soil to keep it working better so we're not having to burn up that much nitrogen on plants? It's interesting to me. That's what we do.
That was a good read.
Interesting stuff.
Yeah, very interesting.
Interesting stuff. I'm not really sure about the... I keep looking at the thing about making us happier. But now we're going to be happy because we'll be at Buds and Blooms in a little bit. We'll see.
Yeah, y'all about to have a good time.
We'll see everybody.
We're
going to
have a blast.
I want to see some of those.
No program, just us shopping. So
just
see you next
stuff.
Week.
The Garden Mama Show is a production of SuperTalk Mississippi Media. Download past episodes at supertalk.fm and contact Garden Mama anytime at mamaonair@yahoo.com. Thanks for choosing The Garden Mama Show. We are advocacy, a century of wins, protecting private property rights, advancing technology, sustaining our land, conserving our natural resources, all to pass on to the next generation. We are the Mississippi Farm Bureau Federation, 100 years and counting. Become a member today at msfb.org.
Are you looking for a contractor for your new home or remodel? Go licensed. Unlicensed contractors may try to convince you that pulling your own permit can save you money, but they may do shoddy work, or in some cases, no work at all, costing you far more in the long run. Protect yourself and your investment by comparing estimates from three licensed contractors. Remember, go licensed.
For more information, contact the Mississippi State Board of Contractors at msboc.us.
Are the trees and shrubs?
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.